Hey, are you living the life? What's that supposed to look like anyway? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Now, no one likes to miss out. When there's something good, we want to get in on it. We don't want to be the one that misses out. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes to the life that God has for us, multitudes are missing out on what the Lord wants you to have, the wonderful things that the Lord wants to do in your lives.
There is tremendous truth, there is blessing, there is hope.
Jesus said, "I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly." Are you living the abundant life He came to give you? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And today we'll study chapter 10 of the Gospel of John and learn what it means to enjoy an abundant love, joy, and peace-filled life. If you're not currently living that kind of life, then why not? The lesson today is from Pastor Jeff's inspiring series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. And it's the last lesson in this series that will be airing today and tomorrow. If you missed any of these lessons from this important series, you can listen again online anytime at fromhisheart.org. Click the radio tab. This series is also available on CD, DVD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive. And it's our gift to you this month for your support to From His Heart of any amount. So go online for all the details at fromhisheart.org. Now, though, open your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve to ask you this important question. Are you living the life?
Now, I want to talk to you today about the life that God wants for every person to experience, to have, to live. But the fear is that you're missing out on what the Lord wants you to have, the wonderful things that the Lord wants to do in your lives. We're in a series called Perspective. This is our last message in the series, Understanding God and Man. And I think when it comes to the things of God and when it comes to what God wants to do in a person's life, we don't understand. Lots of people, they see Christianity kind of this way. Well, yeah, it's like taking bad medicine to get well. You know, it's almost like chemotherapy. You know, it's like, well, this isn't very good, but I have to have it because the alternative is worse. And so it's just something awful. It's just something terrible that you have to do in order to gain heaven. Well, that's not Christianity. That's a warped view of Christianity, and that's why we need to get the proper perspective. Some people have the idea that, you know, the Christian life is something that you endure. It's not what it is. It's something that we get to enjoy. The Christian life is not a curse from God. It's a blessing from God. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. He came to give us life. So I don't want you to miss out on the life that He wants to give. He doesn't want you to miss out on the life that He wants you to have. So I want you to see with me three characteristics of this life that He came that we might have. First characteristic, He came to give us eternal life. When He talks about life, zoe in the Greek, when He talks about that, the thing that really jumps out at you about this life is it is eternal life. Jesus said in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He says in verses 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give eternal life to them. And they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. The Lord gives eternal life. The life that never ends. It's eternal life. Now, this was important. In John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking of himself as the good shepherd in contrast to the Jewish religious leaders who were thieves who came to steal and kill and destroy. And the Lord is saying, hey, this is what you have now, the religion of Judaism, and this is what I want to give you, the life of God. Such a huge contrast. See, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, they had hijacked Judaism. And they had turned what God had given as that which would lead to a relationship with him, a heart-to-heart relationship with him. They had turned it into all externals, all just a bunch of rules, all just a bunch of legalism. And they put heavy burdens on people's backs. And Jesus said, you don't lift them, and you won't even help these people, even with as much as a finger, to lift these heavy burdens. But that's the way it was in Jesus' time. That's the way it is in our time. So many people have religion, and they get the idea that, you know, in order to go to heaven, well, I have to be religious, and I have to do good works, and I have to keep rules, and if I do that good enough, then I get to go to heaven when I die. But that's a lie. You mark it down. Religion and good works will never save anyone. They won't. They can't. It's impossible. The Pharisees had religion up to their eyeballs. The Pharisees were filled with external good works. Jesus said, you guys are like whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones and rottenness. And all of theirs was external. Jesus said, this people honors me with, speaking to the Pharisees and the religious leaders, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. It's all just lip service. It's all external. Where's their heart? Million miles away from God. What does God want? He wants the heart. Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. God is concerned about the heart. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. And their hearts were in love with money. And they were just going through the motions. And they said, if we do enough religious works, then we are right with God. But that's totally wrong. And here's the problem with that. Isaiah 64, verse 6. For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. How many of our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment? All of them. All of them. So anything that you try and do in and of yourself, that you try and do to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, so to speak, and make yourself respectable to God, and to try and earn God's favor, God says, well, that's a filthy rag in my sight. See, religion and good works, all that stuff is rooted in self. It's self-effort, it's self-righteousness, and remember this about God. God hates anything that has to do with self, with yourself, with you saying, well, I am going to do this, because the middle letter in the word sin is I, and the middle letter in the word pride is I, and all of those things have to do with I. And the Lord says, no, it's never going to be like that. You are tainted with sin. And because your heart is tainted with sin, then anything you touch is tainted with sin. And so you do a good work that in and of itself would be a good thing, but you do it and you're contaminated. And so what you touch is contaminated. In 1999, I went on a mission trip to Kenya in Africa. And I was told by the missionary that in Kenya, 1999 especially, the cleanliness wasn't really on top of the list there. And so they said, you know, when you meet someone, you always shake their right hand. So why is that? Said, because the left hand is for personal hygiene. I said, got it. Stay away from the left hand. No lie. First guy I met on the street witnessing had one arm. What do you do to that guy? Hey, I'm from America. He just comes out like that. I was like, hey. How are you? Hey, I didn't want to touch him. Why? Because he's only got one arm. And so this hand was everything. And it was contaminated, right? And so the Lord is saying, that's the way you are. You're the one-armed guy, so to speak. And everything you touch is contaminated, and your righteous deeds are like a filthy rag in my sight. You mark it down. Religion and good works will never save anyone. The religious leaders, Jesus called them sons of hell. And they had religion up to their eyeballs. But now religion won't save anyone. Can't save anyone. Good works won't save anyone. Can't save anyone. Jesus will save anyone who will repent and believe. He'll save anyone who will do that. Because Jesus is the Savior. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus is the Savior. I came that you might have life. How does he give us life? By being the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Because Jesus laid down his life, he can offer his life to you and me and give us life, eternal life, life that lasts forever, life that lives forever with God. Now this idea that Jesus will save anyone who will repent and believe is so beautifully pictured when the Lord was dying on the cross. It's the first 3 hours. You know, he's on the cross for 6 hours. He's crucified at 9 a.m. He died at 3 p.m. And it says in Luke chapter 23, and one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other thief answered and rebuking him said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. He recognized he was a sinner, and he was getting exactly what he deserved. But he said, but this man has done nothing wrong. Lord, I am sinful, but you are perfect. You are holy. And then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. As the Lord is dying on the cross, he's saving a man, a wicked man, a very sinful man. He is guilty of a capital offense against Rome. I mean, he wasn't on the cross because he was singing too loud at the synagogue. He is on the cross for being a thief and a troublemaker and a problem to the city of Rome. And so they're executing him, the worst kind of death on a cross. And this guy who is guilty, 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 cries out to the Savior. And what does the Savior do? He responds to that. And he saves that guy. Today you shall be with me in paradise. You know, we talk about deathbed conversions. You know, I believe in deathbed conversions. But let me tell you something about deathbed conversions. While they are real, they are very rare. There's only one in the Bible, the thief on the cross. Most men, most women, they die as they live. And if they lived with their fists in the face of God, that's how they die most of the time. But Jesus is there to save. Religion can't save. Good works can't save. Jesus is there to save, and he'll save anybody who put his faith and trust in him. I like what Reggie White once said, the great football player for the Green Bay Packers, who is in heaven now. He used to say this, I'm a nobody telling everybody about somebody who will save anybody. And that is our job as believers. What a privilege. A nobody telling everybody about somebody, the Lord Jesus, who will save anybody, anybody who will repent and believe. So Jesus came to give us eternal life, a life that never ends. But second characteristic, not only did he come to give us eternal life, he came to give us abundant life. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. Now remember this, eternal life is abundant life. Sometimes we get confused on eternal life. We kind of think in terms, well, eternal life is something you get when you die. But that's not what it is. Eternal life is what you get when you believe. And when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I receive eternal life. Not when I die, right now. John 5:24, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has," present tense, "eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." You have eternal life the moment you believe. Now, with eternal life comes your home in heaven, your security in heaven. That can never be taken away. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I think you can have eternal life and then lose it. No, you can't. No, you can't. You know why that is? Because eternal life lasts for all eternity. So if you have eternal life, you have life that lasts for all eternity. If you said, well, this guy was saved 5 years and then he lost his salvation, well, he didn't have eternal life. He had five-year life. If you had it for 10 years and lost it, what'd you have? You had 10-year life. You have it after 20 years and you lost it, you had 20-year life. Whatever you had, if you can lose it, it wasn't eternal life. And he says, if you believe in, hear my word and believe him who sent me, you have right now eternal life, life that lasts forever. But now this eternal life that is secure in heaven comes with abundance. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. That word in Greek means beyond measure, full and overflowing, super abundant. And this is the point that so many of us miss out on. See, lots of people come to church and they got point one down. They know about eternal life and they know that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and then not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. We hopefully know that you can't save yourself by good works. You have to save yourself by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We got that one down, many of us. But here's where we fall apart. It's on the abundant life. And we don't get in on the abundant life. Listen, the Christian life, here's what it is. Christ living his life through you. See, lots of people that you'll meet, maybe they're Muslims, or maybe they're Buddhists, or maybe they're this group or that group. They might be very religious in their quote-unquote faith, and they think, well, my religion is just as good as your religion. Well, religion is all the same. It's all effort. It's all self-effort and self-righteousness and trying to, oh, I'm just going to do better. The Christianity is not religion. Christianity says, I can't do it. But Lord, you can do it. So Lord, I want you to come into my life and live your life through me. That's the Christian life. God living his life through you. Christ in me, Paul said, the hope of glory. Now, the Christian life, you have heard me say before, is not hard. It's impossible. No one can live it except Jesus. And Jesus doesn't ask you and me to manufacture the abundance. He does all that. And when his life is in you and he's living through you, then you have the abundance of the Christian life. I still remember a track that I saw. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. And it's not I who live the Christian life, it's Christ. And so, remember what we said, what is sin? Middle letter of sin, I. What is pride? I. It's I am going to do it. Not I, but Christ. Why is it not I? Because I've been crucified with Christ as a believer in the Lord Jesus. There's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's what Paul said. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live bowed to the Son of God, surrendered to the Son of God. See, the Christian life is not trying, it is trusting. And the Lord wants us to trust him. Not grit our teeth and try harder. Well, I'm just not a very good Christian. I'm just gonna try harder. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Abide in me. And if you abide in me, then what happens? My sap flows through you and you bear fruit. You know, you walk by a fruit-bearing tree, you never hear grunting and groaning from the branches. What are you doing? I'm trying to bear fruit. Just trying hard. You know, maybe if I try harder, maybe some fruit will come out. No, they're just connected. As if you're connected, then everything just flows through you, and you don't have to effort. You just have to trust. Now, there are three key places in the Old Testament that God uses as pictures for us. The first key place in the Old Testament is Egypt. Egypt, where God's people were in bondage for 400 plus years, where they were under the thumb of Pharaoh, who's a picture of the devil. Egypt is given to us as a visual of the unsaved person, the lost person. He's in Egypt. He's in bondage. He's in slavery. And they were in slavery to Pharaoh, and lost people are enslaved to sin, and the person that is over them is the devil. But now, if you remember, the Lord brought them out of Egypt through the blood of the Passover lamb, and they went through the Red Sea, and then they came into the wilderness. Now, they were only supposed to stay in the wilderness a short while because God led them from the wilderness to go into the promised land. They got the Ten Commandments in the wilderness, and then they were going into the promised land, but they didn't go in the promised land. Why? Because of unbelief. So they ended up wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. Egypt is a picture of the lost condition. The wilderness is a picture of the saved person who is not experiencing the abundance that the Lord wants them to have. Because of unbelief, they're wandering around in circles in the desert. God wants us to live a life of fullness, of abundance, and that's pictured with the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. The land that has grapes as big as coconuts. The land that is just filled with great things. That's what God wants for us. The promised land is not heaven. The promised land is the spirit-filled life. And that comes when it's not I, but Christ.
And that spirit-filled life is one that's comprised of the fruits of the Spirit. Pastor Jeff will elaborate on this tomorrow when he brings the conclusion to the message called, Are You Living the Life? This message is one of six in his series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. And the series is our gift of thanks to you for your support from His Heart this month of any amount. And you can have it on CD, DVD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive. Simply call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. You can get perspective and align your heart with God's heart. And you know, one of the ways you can know that your heart is aligned with God's heart is that you have a desire to reach the world with the gospel. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, it says, For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. God desires us to have hearts that are truly and totally His. He is looking for people who love Him with all of their hearts, soul, mind, and strength. God doesn't want to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. And without question, our money and our hearts are inextricably woven together. When you support ministries, outreaches that seek to carry a message from God's heart to the world, you are exhibiting that you're a person who has life in Christ and wants others to have it as well. Pastor Jeff receives nothing from this ministry except the joy of knowing that these messages are reaching lost and hurting people around the world. What a privilege to have the opportunity to do that. And when you support From His Heart, you're joining with us in that outreach. So thank you for your generous support that allows us to be here each and every day. You can go to fromhisheart.org to find out more. Of course, a big thanks for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, trusting that you'll be here on Friday for the conclusion to this incredible message. It's called, Are You Living the Life? That's next time, right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.